Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, with the price of groceries on the rise, you want to take a look at some of the small swaps you can make to keep the costs down. And sauces and dips, they're some of the items that you might throw into the basket without thinking. But making them at home can be more cost effective and healthier. And TV chef Aisling Larkin is here with me now in the studio to take us through some of the ones we can attempt to make ourselves. I say attempt because these for me now are a bit scary because they're fancy, and you brought some lovely ones in, Aisling, and they look a bit fancy, dare I say.
I know, and they sound a little bit fancy, but actually you can strip them back to be quite easy. I think there's two key things. If you can stock up your store cupboard, and I don't mean all in one week, like little by little, there's a couple of kind of similar ingredients when we go through them that kind of ping up all the time. And then if you have some sort of a food processor, like just bung it in the food, like there's no technique to these. It's just bung it in the food processor, job done, or pestle and mortar to do by hand if you wanted a little bit chunky if you didn't have one. So yeah, I think like being cost effective with them is really, really smart, and you're getting in so many fresh ingredients as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, because I always grab a jar of pesto, sometimes the fresh one, but more often than not it's a jar for the emergency pasta dinner.
Oh, totally. Thursday night, that's my house. Yeah. Thursday night is pesto pasta dinner. Well, after swimming, everybody's late. It's what can we get done in 20 minutes? And it's really handy. Look, I suppose I try, if I'm organised enough, sometimes on a Sunday morning in between kind of football training and a few other things, I kind of find I have an hour or two. And I will do a batch of hummus and a batch of pesto.
Right.
And I know that when they're in the fridge, that dinner, emergency dinner will be done. You can do so many things with pesto. And with the hummus, when the kids come home from school, that half two to half four, you know, that's snacky time.
I know, ruining their dinner with slices of bread.
Oh, they just go to the cracker drawer. Mine are just like little cracker fiends. And my always conversation is, put some hummus with that and put a piece of fruit with that. Have your cracker, have your hummus, or your fruit.
Yeah, because you've ticked a mammy box there.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's, and there's just, they're handy, handy ones to have. The other lovely thing about hummus is, and we see it in the supermarket if you're buying it, are so easy to do at home. Once you get the base recipe right, you can add in little flavours. So, you know, for the ones who maybe are a bit reluctant to try a new flavour or a new colour, things like maybe beetroot or avocado, they're very scary. They're big foods, you know, even to adults sometimes. But or even if you've got them left over from that sustainable perspective, think about there's a few beets left around, or there's, you know, half the avocado and it's not quite ripe enough to go in the salad, or it's overripe. You can put that in and blitz it into your hummus. And then you've got avocado hummus, you've got beetroot hummus. So
when
it's
you
a
thing.
Way. There you go. See, money saving as
well.
Will
you take us through your pesto recipe then, Aisling? How do we do it?
So easy. And again, the traditional recipe is basil. So it's basil pesto is what we are kind of known with. Then you always use pine nuts, parmesan and garlic. So that's it. So you start by blitzing down your parmesan, pine nuts and garlic. Pine nuts are crazy expensive.
They are.
So expensive. Like in restaurants, we're starting, like I do, we do consultancy work. So we move away from pine nuts. You can't afford them. It's not possible. So things like cashew nuts work really well. Or my personal favourite from a cost perspective and a nutrient perspective is sunflower seeds. So cheap in the supermarket.
Great idea.
They're creamy, so they give you that.
So the flavour profile is fine in pesto.
Totally. You don't notice the difference.
And the other reason for that is if you want to take it into school, you're not bringing nuts.
Exactly. You're bringing seeds. Isn't it so clever?
Very clever.
It's a great little win. And then parmesan cheese, again, can be really expensive. And I would always say, like, discernment. If you can buy your 18-month-age parmesan, amazing. But in the supermarket, the alternative is Grand Padano.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cheaper alternative. Mm. It'll do the same job for you. And then when you're putting in your basil pesto, instead of using all basil, because again, basil is like one basil plant, if you buy it in the supermarket, will get you one jam jar portion of pesto. That's how I do it. I wash out my jam jars, save them. Everything is stored in glass jars because everything lasts longer in glass jars. Everything. But a great tip is to mix your basil with a little bit of parsley because it's really cheap. It's much cheaper. Or something like spinach and rocket. Or yeah, like watercress. You know, sometimes we buy the bags of leaves and we might get through the whole bag of spinach.
Yeah, it's a great way to use
them. Put that into your pesto as well.
So you're trying to fool whoever's eating it into thinking this is basil pesto.
Exactly.
And so, but you are putting a bit of basil in there, but you're bulking it up with other stuff.
Exactly. So it's more sustainable and it's more cost effective and you're using everything up. And sometimes if basil pesto is a big flavour, by kind of thinning it out a little bit with the others, it's a milder version of a pesto. And then once that pesto is made, you use it as a sandwich spread. You mix it with mayonnaise so that you can have it as a dip with your chicken tenders. Use it drizzled over your pesto or over your pasta, over pizza. pizza, anywhere you can get in. Like, don't let it go to waste once you've made it.
Bake your salmon with a bit on top. Oof, as well. That works
delicious,
well, doesn't it?
Yes. Or another lovely one actually is breadcrumbs. If you, you know, if you put like a breadcrumb top on chicken or fish,
yeah,
mix the pesto through the breadcrumbs.
Oh, good
idea. And sprinkle
idea.
That on top.
There you go. So we've all that eaten, so we don't need to know how long it lasts. But it is about 5 to 7 days, but it's long gone before then.
Yeah, exactly.
So will we jump to the hummus recipe then?
I love hummus. Homemade hummus is so easy. And I think hummus has become such a staple for all of us. A quick win. Tin of chickpeas.
Yeah.
Garlic. Lemon juice. Then the interesting ingredient that we might not have heard about is tahini. So tahini is sesame seed paste. It, like, up until even a year ago, it was difficult to get it in the supermarket. Now, all of the supermarkets.
Now, why are you adding that in? Is it for the flavour?
Oh, that is it. Without it, it's not hummus. It's bland. It's basically like blitzed up chickpeas. And chickpeas don't have a lot of flavour.
Like,
they take flavour. That's why they take salt, garlic, lemon juice really well. So tahini, as I said, is sesame seed paste. And we talk about umami. Umami is when you eat something, you go, oh, this is delicious. Sesame seeds are one of those foods that rank really high for umami. So the more tahini you put in, the better. And a lot of times, if you read a generic recipe online, it'll say, one tablespoon to one tin of chickpeas. I am saying put 2 tablespoons or a big heaped one.
Mm-hmm.
That's your flavour. The other thing that a lot of people leave out at home when they make it is cumin. Cumin is not a hot spice. It's that warm, earthy spice. And that's when you taste good hummus, you go, oh, jeez, that's lovely. It's the little bit of cumin in it that's really lovely. And the other tip, if you're making it at home, so you're just putting everything in the food processor, garlic, lemon juice, your tahini, your chickpeas, drain them off and rinse them because they come in a lot of salty water. You don't want that extra salt.
Okay,
so
rinse
your
chickpeas
before you put them in. And then my little secret is an ice cube. If you pop in an ice cube, it keeps it really light and fluffy. It almost whips it up and it has the most beautiful texture.
Well, look
texture.
At that. That's,
there you go.
I would never have
one ice cube,
thought of that.
All it takes. And when you make my recipe or you do one at home as an example,
yeah,
to that one tin of chickpeas, I use 4 tablespoons of oil, 4 tablespoons of water. So I'm cutting the fat by a huge amount. So I'm not relying on all fat.
So now I'm wondering with the tahini, can I use sesame oil instead of tahini?
If you were desperately stuck, what I would recommend is peanut butter and a drop of sesame oil.
Mm.
Yeah, because peanut butter will kind of act the same. It'll add the consistency and the texture that you want. And the sesame oil will bring the sesame. But be really careful because sesame oil is quite strong. It's very, very pungent.
Okay, so just stop complicating it, Claire.
Yeah.
Buy the tahini.
Buy
it's
the
just
tahini.
Something that I never buy, you know, it's not on my list.
I know. So listen, right, with the tahini, and if you do buy it, and I'm kind of digressing a little bit now, but baba ganoush is another dip.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more Middle Eastern one, not one we're hugely familiar with, but I'm always trying to get people to eat 30 plants a week. Baba ganoush is an aubergine dip. So you know our lovely plant, eggplant, aubergine that we don't possibly eat enough of sometimes. Roast it in the oven, so cut it in half on tin foil. Skin side down, olive oil, scoop with a spoon, just scoop out the filling, mix that exactly like you would do with your hummus, with your tahini, your garlic, your lemon juice.
Okay, because we need to find ways to use up the tahini because it's going to end up in the back of the fridge with the jar of miso paste or something.
I've one more recipe for you while we're on a buzz with tahini. Talk about transitioning. On my Instagram, chickpea and cauliflower air fryer salad. You take a head of cauliflower, you take a tin of chickpeas, put them in your air fryer basket, sprinkle on a little bit of cumin if you have it, if you had onion powder, garlic powder, something like that. But even if you just have cumin, that's okay, and oil. 20 minutes in your air fryer, take them out. In a separate little bowl or all over it, drizzle your tahini, olive oil, fresh squeeze of lemon juice.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, we tend to eat less cauliflower in the summer because it's not cauliflower cheese or it's not, you know, the roast dinners we kind of tend to leave off. It's a fabulous way to do a lovely tahini
and we do
dressing.
Need new ways to eat cauliflower because it's so available to us because it's, you know, we grow it here. There's loads of it.
That's
see it.
It
in the supermarket. Sometimes, like cabbage,
that's
you know,
it.
Walk
that's
past it.
It. That's it. And the price difference in the supermarket versus the imported ones wrapped in plastic and the Irish one that doesn't come in plastic, it's half the price for cauliflower. You'll pay like €1, €1.50 for it. Like, unbelievably valuable for such a good vegetable, you know, and a real nutrient-dense vegetable that kind of fills you up, which is what you want at lunchtime.
Find new ways to eat cauliflower. What about the cauliflower leaves? Haven't you a way to use those as well?
In the pesto.
So, no, we really are fooling people here with our pesto, aren't we?
I know, but you can use them. And actually, if you go on my website, one of the recipes I have, it's an alternative one, but it's like the kind of the sustainable one. You can use the cauliflower leaves. Or what I do is sometimes if you're doing like a stir fry and you want to fry off like a couple of greens like bok choy, spinach, those cauliflower leaves work beautifully. Sauteed off, a little bit of
oil.
They're
very tough though, are they?
You've got to cut the stalk out. Just take the stalk out and then shred them up just like you would like your little cabbage leaves.
Right.
And they cook really quickly. lovely, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of sea
and
salt.
And they're not
lemon juice.
Bit too bitter for that
no,
job, no?
No, 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 no. They take the oil, the kind mm-hmm, of the oil rounds
the
out the bitterness, yeah.
Now, what else have you brought in for us there?
So we've got loads of other ones in terms of dips, because I absolutely love dips. Muhumara. Muhumara is very
never
trendy.
Heard of it.
Kind of, I mean, it's literally when I say new to the market in the last kind of 4 months, you'll start to see it appearing in the supermarkets. One of the supermarkets is kind of selling it already, I think. It's roast red peppers. So it's roast red peppers, breadcrumbs, walnuts, and again, lemon juice and garlic. Mm-hmm. Olive
now,
oil.
Do you want us to roast the red peppers, or are we?
Oh,
buying
buy
them?
The jar. Gee, Chris, no, buy the jar. I don't have time for roasting red peppers, Claire. No, 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 buy the jar. But they come in a kind of a vinegary. It's not a pickle, but it's slightly like that. And sometimes when people take them out of the jar first off, for you know, if you say to somebody, get yourself a jar. They go, oh, I don't like those. It's what you're tasting is the liquor that they come in.
Yeah,
rinse them. Just mm-hmm. rinse them really well.
I kind of like that flavour though. If you're chopping them up for a salad,
yes.
I like that little edge.
And it does
edge.
Add. It adds a little piquancy to kind of a dressing or a salad, doesn't it? Which is lovely. But I know some people don't. So again, food processor, breadcrumbs if you have them. If you didn't, that's okay. Bit of stale bread. But the walnuts. So it's basically roast red peppers, walnuts, garlic. Blitz that all up and it turns into this beautiful kind of deep red dip. It's like literally a dip. Mm-hmm. What I love to do is sprinkle a little bit of feta cheese over the top and pomegranate molasses. Now, I know that's a slightly different ingredient. And again, it's becoming more common in the supermarkets, but it adds that kind of sweetness. Because walnuts, when you talk about bitterness, walnuts kind of have that bitterness sometimes.
Yeah.
So you need a kind of the ping of the sweetness and a ping of the creaminess. So the feta and the pomegranate molasses will do that.
Lovely. We'll all be sitting down now eating too much at night with all these lovely dips. But anyway, we'll get over that.
We'll go another one.
Yeah, go with another one. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you actually about my Green Goddess dressing.
Yeah. So this is a salad dressing now.
Salad dressing.
Okay.
But also as a dip for veggies. Mm-hmm. So I find if I have a jar of it at home, I'm so much more likely to put a few carrot sticks or a few cucumber sticks or radish on the plate. Traditionally, it's sour cream and mayonnaise, half and half, right? Mm-hmm. But again, I'm always trying to maybe just make recipes a little bit better for us. Replace either the mayonnaise or the sour cream with live natural yogurt. Because it's good for your gut.
Fully and in favour of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's much lower in calories.
It's another one where we're tricking ourselves into
That's it.
Believing it's something that it's not.
But it works. And I'm not saying no more mayonnaise. Because the mayonnaise adds a richness and a creaminess and the mouthfeel is lovely. But it is just that little bit of, I suppose, been clever about how you make it. So it's basically that. It's your Greek yogurt or your live natural yogurt with your mayonnaise or your sour cream. And then it's herbs. It's all these fresh summery herbs. Tarragon, dill, basil, chives, parsley. Not dried, fresh.
Whatever you can get your hands on, you're telling me.
Exactly.
Now.
In the summer. It doesn't matter.
Mm.
What I would say is the big player is tarragon. You know when it's not there. You won't know that there's chives or basil or parsley. You can kind of get away with one of those. But you do notice the tarragon. So I'd say if you're going to do anything, you can use tarragon. And actually, I make it quite a lot. My sister rang the other day. She's like, can I use dried basil that's been in the press for a while? I was like, why are you using that? And then she was like, I want to put it into the Green Goddess. I was like, no, don't do that. And then she said, I have to tell you a secret. I've been putting dried tarragon into your Green Goddess and I haven't told you. And I was like, does it work? And she's like, well, you've eaten it. And it definitely does work. So you can get away with the dried tarragon. Mm-hmm. And it means... I hate giving somebody a recipe where they've got to go and find a million things. The dried tarragon, you'll buy it once. It'll be in the store cupboard and you can just use the sprinkle of it every time.
Right.
So it's a lovely, lovely
So are
one.
You, let's say we are using fresh, are you just chopping that up or are you
yeah,
putting it in
it a rough chop, food processor. Again, every single one of these, it's dump into the food processor. So your sour cream will go in, your yogurt will go in, your mayonnaise will go in, your fresh herbs will go in, a little piece of lemon juice. And then the secret to a Green Goddess is anchovies. How do you feel about anchovies?
Lovely. No, love them.
Do you?
Yeah, except but I have to sneak them in. They can't even be seen in the house.
No, yeah. Yeah. But once you melt them down in a little bit of oil and nobody knows that they're just one and it just takes one. And if you're incredibly allergic to the thought of an anchovy going in, Worcester sauce.
Ah, another great one. I put it in everything, gravies and everything.
Totally.
Again, don't tell anybody.
You don't tell anybody.
No.
But it works. And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It adds that depth of flavour that we love. And I suppose sometimes the commercial products are made, they're made for margin, they're made for kind of stable shelf life. But when you make them at home, you have to be clever about how you get that flavour in.
Aisling, pleasure talking to
Thank you.
You. You're speaking my language. And a listener says tahini's also brilliant in a salad dressing or as a spread instead of butter. So I'll have to invest in that now and get working with the tahini.
For sure.
Thank you so much, Aisling Lark.